The Star Wars Survival Guide, Episode 3.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from
the Cliffs of Insanity,
Indiana Jim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Star Wars Survival Guide. This is your essential guide to surviving as a fan of that galaxy far, far away. And this show is for the fan who may not be as absorbed into it as some of us. Some of us who follow the Twitter all day, every day, looking out for those stories and those things that that we're really interested in. Some of us are big-time collectors. Some of us are big-time book readers. Some of us are big-time comic readers. And some of us just kind of like to watch the movies every now and then. So this is for those folks who would like a little assistance keeping abreast of the big stories and looking for the positive influences of Star Wars. And, you know, maybe we're not delving deeply into the super geeky analysis or anything, but what we do is talk about stuff that's interesting. And without further ado, we will get into the interesting parts. And number one, the most exciting thing for me is that Star Wars Battlefront multiplayer beta launches early next month. It says one of the most exciting things about Star Wars Battlefront is its multiplayer mode, which features massive space battles where you can pilot iconic ships like the Millennium Falcon, and you'll be able to experience the madness for yourself before the game launches in November. A multiplayer beta for the game is coming to PS4, PC, and Xbox One in early October. Unfortunately, there's no specific date for when it will launch or any details about what you'll need to do to get in on the beta, but it will include two missions, the 40-player Walker Assault on Hoth battle, which we've seen, I think, in the videos that have come out, and it will feature Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader as playable characters, and then the survival mission on Tatooine, which we've also seen, where two rebels try to fight their way through waves of Imperial forces. There's also a new mode called Drop Zone, but no details on what it might entail. We don't know much else about the beta, though EA promises more details in the weeks ahead. The full Battlefront experience will be available on November 17th. And one thing about multiplayer betas, if you've never done one before, it's really an opportunity for the playing community to test things and find out what's broken. So sometimes you run into stuff that can be frustrating and it's broken. And of course, that's, you know, they need to do a patch, and that's how the best way they figure out how to do a patch. And as far as I know, it's going to be a public beta, apparently. So I will be watching for that on my PlayStation Store. Really? Oh, man, I'm going to have to get a PS4 before. Oh, man, before October. Ooh, I better save up, right? Okay, one of the details we learned about Kylo Ren, and it's not a really a spoiler thing, but I think something that some of us have been worried about, you know, will they bring the Sith back? That's been a big question. Did they actually destroy the Sith as the Sith were identified? And that seems to be a point of contention, exactly what constitutes what a Sith is and what doesn't. And so J.J. Abrams has assured us that Kylo Ren is not a Sith. And I think we can kind of leave it there for those of you who don't want to be, you know, spoilerified. But let's just get out of the way that it's not a Sith Lord. The Sith, as they are constituted, as their particular, I guess, religion, I don't know. Anyway, not a Sith. So what is he exactly? Well, I guess that remains to be seen, and that's part of the mystery. And you know, there's nothing really spoilerific. The interesting thing about the First Order and who are they, what's the best analogy? And it was interesting. It said it all came out of a conversation about what would have happened if the Nazis all went to Argentina, but then started working together again. And that's kind of, you know, the empire breaks apart because of what happens and what happens when they reorganize. And I think maybe, you know, a lot of us pretty much figured that that's kind of the way it was. What'll be interesting is there seems to be a hint of multiple factions. So it's not necessarily just, you know, the rebellion, which is not the rebellion anymore. It's the resistance. So what that says to me is, you know, the rebellion did their thing. The Rebel Alliance did their thing. And now, and they're not necessarily the galactic government. They are resisting, I guess, the reemergence of the Empire is the way I look at it. So it all looks very interesting to me. Now, another video game news, the Disney Infinity 3.0 review from IGN is up on the web. And let's see, I want to get to the most important stuff and not waste your time with junk. Let's see. They talked about the Avengers playset that was a disappointment, but it says that the Star Wars one appears to right all the wrongs that the Avengers playset had with it. And like this paragraph here, crucially, its combat is fantastic. Steered by the experienced hand of developer Ninja Theory, which has honed its combo-based craft on previous projects such as Heavenly Sword and Devil May Cry, character attacks feel substantially tighter and more fluid than the previous Infinity games. As Yoda, I delighted in pinballing between multiple enemies, leaving groups of enemy droids showering sparks and body parts in my wake. As Anakin, I was able to force pull a shield out of an enemy's hands before dashing forward to uppercut them in the air and juggle them with spectacular saber swings. That sounds exciting. Let's see, it's not to say the Twilight of the Republic is perfect. It would have benefited from a splash of the nudge-wink humor employed by the LEGO games or even some of Skylander's excellent environmental puzzles. There's also quite a bit of repetition with some of the side quests. The pod racing in particular seems like a missed opportunity by offering only one opponent to challenge. But these minor grievances are quickly forgotten once you're dogfighting separatist ships in the space junk-filled orbit of Geonosis, indulging in flashy lightsaber brawls in the Jedi Temple training room, or gleefully hurling your co-op partner into a belching Sarlacc pit. It might not reach the level of cinematic authenticity the upcoming Battlefront is targeting, but as far as story-based adventures go, Twilight of the Republic offers one of the most entertaining Star Wars video game experiences in years. And I'll let you kind of go on there and read the rest of that if you'd like. The link, of course, will be in the show notes. And that's one of the things that I would like to get as well. I've played a little bit with the Disney Infinity. I do like me some Jack Sparrow, but that's, you know, it's a mite superfluous, as it were. So I don't know what that means. It means nothing, but I just felt like trying to do a Jack Sparrow voice.
Savvy.
Okay. Now, here is a, and it only captured the, picture. Darn it. Our next story is a feel-good story. We all know that the 501st Costuming Club, an organization, has done a lot of work for charity and visit a lot of kids in hospitals and all that sort of thing. And so this story from CNN, it starts, Nicolette Molina's daughter, Layla Murphy, is fascinated with Star Wars. The 8-year-old found some of her father's old toys around her Norfolk, Virginia home. Yeah, I know how to talk. Around her home, and immediately fell in love with that galaxy far, far away. Of course, she's hardly alone among kids and adult fans worldwide, but many of those fans don't have to deal with school bullies. So let's see here. Just as things were looking grim, the Star Wars fan army deployed to help Layla strike back. I don't want to read the whole thing for you, but Layla had taken photos recently at a fan convention with Star Wars fan Jason Tuttle, a member of the group 501st. When he saw those photos that Molina posted on his Facebook page, Tuttle encouraged Layla's fandom and sent patches, stickers, and trading cards to Layla. There is a picture of her having a moment with a particularly popular sort of Star Wars fan. And let's see, a lot of Star Wars community and fans are supportive, and a lot of the females can relate and had similar experiences in their own childhoods. People started sending Layla more and more Star Wars gifts. It says not everyone is encouraging, however. A lot of people outside the community immediately attack our parenting, saying we should have instilled more confidence in her on our own. I even had one man suggest I teach her how to fight. Star Wars fans, on the other hand, have taught Layla confidence. Hers might be a familiar story to those who remember Katie Goldman, whose fight against bullying inspired Wear Star Wars, Share Star Wars Day, held annually in December. Layla now feels loved and accepted in her Stormtrooper uniform and recently got a chance to meet one of her heroes, the aforementioned popular Star Wars fan that I didn't mention. If you've read it, you know who it is. If not, check the link in the show notes. Very good story. And guys in the 501st are always doing great stuff. And, you know, that's what Star Wars is really all about. And being a fan of that galaxy far, far away is really all about. It's about community. And I've mentioned that before. And that's the thing we ought to remember and stress and never forget that part. Now, this was interesting. And for you collectors out there, if you do like to collect, this piece is from Cinelinks.com. Of course, we like Cinelinks here at the Star Wars Survival Guide. And the interesting thing was, here's a big group of stuff that I didn't even know existed. There's a whole panoply of items from the expanded universe. And here, this is a printout of a magazine ad, the 1998 Kenner Basic Figure Collection. Expanded universe figures include Clone Emperor Palpatine, Dark Trooper, Grand Admiral Thrawn, Kyle Katarn, Luke Skywalker from Dark Empire, Mara Jade, Princess Leia from Dark Empire as well. There's Power of the Force figures. There's a Bespin Luke Skywalker, a Biggs Darklighter. So all these things advertised in here, but the expanded universe figures was what interested me, because the EU has always been a line I've avidly sought after. This is written by the article writer. There are only so many toys they can make from movies, especially prior to the prequels release. So when licensees began utilizing characters and vehicles from the expanded universe, it gave fans something fresh they hadn't seen physically before. I know of many fans who have as much passion for certain EU stories and characters as they do for the films, and these collectibles gave them a chance to expand their collection to include those as well. My friend Nathan Butler, who of course is the author of the Star Wars Timeline Gold, he had written a short story called Equals and Opposites, which I think featured Kyle Katarn and a Vong character of some sort. And they actually did a reissue of the comic. They had a two-figure and comic pack from various things that they did. And he actually had one that was made from his story. So I thought that was really cool. Difficult to find anywhere, of course. And I think he has a few. And there's all sorts of little, a few paragraphs each of some stuff. There's Shadows of the Empire memorabilia. There's a Micro Machine Epic Collection, which I haven't seen. The Star Wars Visionaries, Darth Maul and Owen Lars. Visionaries 2-pack. Let's see, I think that might have been... The series gave fans a double whammy of figures, pulling popular characters from the different comics and bundling them together with the book. Okay, yeah, so there it is. And there was one, apparently, that had Darth Maul and Owen Lars in it, where before the canonical revival of Darth Maul, the Star Wars Visionaries comic, which compiled a handful of what-if stories from various authors, envisioned a half-robotic Darth Maul who survived and tracked Obi-Wan down on Tatooine for one final battle. It was a fun little story and provided much of the influence for his ultimate canonical return a few years later. And apparently there was a Owen Lars figure. And then there was, he mentioned some Jason Solo and Jaina Solo figures. And, these figures have remained constant at about $120 each for the last couple years. So if you really, really need some Jaina and Jason Solo figures, I'm looking at you, Mark Herleman, and, save your money. But anyway, the last thing I want to mention is girl power. Star Wars Episode 8 shortlist, that was really weird, includes Gina Rodriguez, Tatiana Maslany, and Olivia Cook. This was exclusive to the website that I got this from, the Hollywood Insider, I think is what that is. It says, Rian Johnson is directing the sci-fi sequel, which Disney and Lucasfilm will release on May 26th, 2017. Golden Globe winner Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin. Golden Globe nominee Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black. And Me and Earl and the Dying Girl star Olivia Cook. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl star Olivia Cook are considered the top contenders for the new female lead in Rian Johnson's Star Wars Episode 8. Multiple individuals familiar with the casting situation told The Wrap. Okay, TheWrap.com. There it is, TheWrap.com. I'm really still getting used to Evernote and figuring out where all the references are. It was like, I know this is from something because I clipped it from something. So... insiders insist it's early in the casting process and that Johnson is still auditioning actresses with several rising stars yet to read for him. Others suggest that Johnson is narrowing down the field and that Rodriguez, Maslany, and Cook will be among a group of girls slated to chemistry read with the Force Awakens star John Boyega. Did we just spoil that John Boyega survives the Force Awakens? Well, I mean, it's not a George R. R. Martin piece, right? So we figure probably, They are featuring John Boyega in a lot of stuff. The Comic-Con poster showed Boyega with a lightsaber. The teaser they recently released added a clip showing John Boyega activating a blue lightsaber, looking ready to fight on the snowy planet that we see Kylo Ren ignite his lightsaber. So, hey, they could be leading up to there. Let's see. Oscar winner Benicio del Toro is nearing a deal to play the villain in Star Wars Episode 8. And let's see, the internet has taken upon itself to speculate that Han Solo's daughter could be introduced in the film. We're still not sure whether or not Rey is not somebody's daughter, you know what I'm saying? So we need to slow down. Maslany apparently was a finalist for the lead role in Rogue One, a role that eventually went to Felicity Jones. So apparently it made such an impression that they're considering her for Episode 8. So let's see. Cook is going to be the she's in the mix for the female lead in Ready Player One, which is going to be from Steven Spielberg. Three pretty interesting actresses. One kind of seems to be of some sort of Polynesian or Asian descent of some sort. So that could be curious. I don't know which one is which. I see three pictures. I'm pretty sure I know which one is the orphan black girl, but that's. That's Tatiana Maslany. I'm pretty sure a lot of us can recognize her. So interesting stuff on the Episode 8 front, and just makes me excited more for Episode 7. See where they go. This should be interesting how they approach it, because it almost seems like they're taking an anthology approach. It's weird, you know, using different directors and doing all this stuff. It seems an odd approach. I would assume that they have all three films sketched out, but that's difficult to know for sure. So anyway, so right now, that's really all there is for me. I know there's a lot more stuff out there. I wasn't able to get on Twitter as much and interact this week. Had a lot of stuff going on. So, but anyway, that's that for Episode 3. And I'm very happy that you all keep listening. And let's see. Well, I've got an email address. I know that's here somewhere. And that email, of course, is StarWarsSurvivalGuide@gmail.com. I don't know why I can't even remember my own email. Anyway, lots of cool stuff to look forward to. Force Friday just happened. And I know there's a lot of merch out there. And a lot of folks went running out to grab whatever they could. I was listening to the Force Cast. Or not the Force Cast, I'm sorry, Rebel Force Radio. I still get those confused. And they were talking to one of the guys was on site at a Target and said that the little cutesy things with the big heads, I don't even know what those are called. Kojis? I don't know. Anyway, he said they were all gone in like 5 minutes. And so I would say that there's probably going to be shipments of more stuff. I don't think they were like Black Friday exclusives. There might have been some. The one thing that catches my eye really a lot. Remember the Voltron toys? And the ones, and these were back in the 80s, and some of you may not remember the 80s. But the lions were a die-cast metal. I mean, that was the one to get if you wanted, you know, a real Voltron. It wasn't terribly poseable, but it was really cool to be metal and shiny and, you know, all that stuff. And they have a Captain Phasma, which I know I had seen at somebody had posted they got at the Disney store. A Captain Phasma action figure. I think it's in a 6 or 8 inches. I couldn't quite, maybe 6. I think it's 6. 6-inch Captain Phasma made out of die-cast metal for $25. Can you believe $25? I gotta have it. That's what I want. I want the Captain Phasma metal die-cast figure for $25. And so that's what I'm going to go after. What are you going to go after? Email the show, StarWarsSurvivalGuide@gmail.com, and tell me what you're going to collect. Follow on Twitter at Survive Star Wars, and tell all your friends about the show. And, you know, this will keep people abreast of Star Wars news without wasting too much of their time. I don't say wasting, I mean, you know, without taking up too much of your time. There are people who don't want to spend as much time on it, and that's why this show exists. So refer this to your friends who, you know, who may listen to podcasts, but don't want to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours listening to, you know, a lot of us more you know, us bigger Star Wars nerds that can go on for hours talking about stuff. So, anyway, I hope I didn't offend anybody there, but that's just kind of, this is the niche and this is the one I'm in. So again, tell all your friends, follow along, and, you know, I'm never going to get that clip right. I don't know why there's a gap there, but there is. Anyway, it's a lot of fun following this Star Wars business. And I really have run out of things to say. So I'd really like you to participate in the discussion on Twitter and email. You can also email MP3 comments if you want to. And that's that. So anyway, may the Force be with you all.